Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Thinking about a new vehicle? Trust the team that's been taking care of customers for 70 years. The Cannon family has helped thousands drive home happy. Come take a test drive today and see why. And remember, when the smoke clears, nobody beats a Cannon deal. Nobody.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Monday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, new week of Southern Miss programming. Glad you're with us as we continue to broadcast every day from the Southern Bancorp studio here in cold. Not a cloud in the sky, though, Hattiesburg. So cold, Dima. How cold is it today, Dima?
It's cold, and I'm shocked we even had to come into work today.
It's so cold the heaters are not working in the public schools, and so the little kiddies could not go to school today.
Apparently, heaters aren't working.
Apparently not.
Well, what's the old joke going around that it's so cold that people at Walmart are wearing two pairs of pajamas while they shop?
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm old enough to remember when you went to school when it was cold. Dima, you're
me
a lot
too.
Younger than me, but when you were growing up, did you go to school even when it was cold?
Yep, I did. Of course, I was homeschooled for most of my schooling, right. So all I would have to do is go downstairs, but I did go to PCS until the third grade, and I remember a particular morning that it was ice on the road as we were standing in car line, and we were still in school.
I can remember being at bus stops. Kelly, you grew up in the Midwest. You probably experienced this. I can remember being at bus stops having snowball fights, waiting on the buses to pick us up.
Let me just say it like this. I would go play golf right now outside in this weather. It's not a cloud in the sky.
You just don't go to school.
Almost 40 degrees. I would go play golf right now. It's great weather outside.
I just think a lot of these school systems are afraid that some kids are going to get on a school bus, and the bus will hit one patch of ice or something, and there'd be an accident. And then
you would never want to happen.
Of course not. Of course not. But I'm saying they're just...
But they couldn't have gone in at 10 a.m. today?
They're just so afraid of lawsuits nowadays that they are so ridiculously cautious. It's... anyway,
we don't fear such things here.
No, we're here. We had... And I'm telling you, so I want to file... I'm really steamed about this.
I had to come in today.
When I come to this... show, I have to drive 2 miles each way
in the snow and the dangerous
and it's
icy,
uphill
icy conditions.
Yes, and the snow leopards fighting them off with my loose leaf notebook.
Somehow he has time to stop by a movie star on the way in each time.
Oh yeah, he's always got time for a good buffet.
My car just automatically turns in there. I don't have any control over it.
All right, Dickie's Barbecue. Speaking of good places to eat, Kelly has knocked those buffets out as well. A great place for a meal any night of the week and a great place to cater your next event. We appreciate all that Dickie's does. All right, we're going to talk to Heath Hinton a little later in the show. Talk some NFL football. I guess we'll have to now that the Super Bowl is set. But first, basketball. And, you know, the news continues not to be good. Both men and women lose over the weekend. Let's start with the home game here, Dima. Lady Eagles in a rut they need to find a way out of.
Yeah, and, you know, I've been talking a lot about how, you know, Carly Keats, if they could just get her back to where she was doing the beginning of the season, you know, they'd be fine. And they did. 14 points, had a good day. Ja'Kayla Johnson, who's been just a stellar player for them for the past few weeks, 4 points in 28 minutes. I mean, that to me is the story of the game right there. Coastal Carolina really dominated the game, 81-55 winners. And that's a Coastal team who, I mean, isn't particularly good. They're 10-11, you know, and overall right now. And, standings wise, you know, they're still below Southern Miss. So that was just kind of a shocking loss, in my opinion, for the Lady Eagles, who now dropped to 11-9. They're 4-5 in conference. And if you just look at the standings, that would put them at eighth in the conference. They're tied for eighth with ODU, USM, and Georgia State. So they still have room to potentially get up into that top six, which is what we've talked about is where you want to be. But they have a really tough rest of their schedule, as we've noted. They got to go to Georgia Southern. They got to go to Old Dominion, who's really good. They have a lot of road games left, and they're going to have to find a way to win two or three of them, you know, to get themselves back in a position to be competitive in that tournament in March.
And what shocked me, Kelly, more than anything about the game Saturday was, number one, it was at home. But the magnitude of the loss, to lose that significantly on your home floor, not good.
Well said. And I think if you, Missy Bilderback, were quite candid, she would say, in golf terms, they need a mulligan. Mm-hmm. That was just a terrible shot off the tee.
Yeah.
It would just there wasn't anything that really went well for them. And we've talked about the importance of holding serve at home. And it's one thing to lose to Arkansas State, who could be the best women's team in the conference. It's another one to lose to Coastal, like Damon was talking about.
So but, their other loss at home was to Marshall, and a game that they battled very well against them. I agree with Kelly. That was just like almost the worst we've seen them. I don't know how to describe that game. But like I said, if you look at the rest of their schedule, I mean, they don't have any easy ones coming up. They end the season on a four-game road trip at Louisiana, at Troy, at South Alabama, at ULM. Then they got to go to Old Dominion and Georgia Southern this week. So out of their last, you know, what is that, seven, eight, nine conference games, seven of them are on the road.
And when you look at the men, and this was part of my beef with the scheduling in the Sun Belt, where you have these four-game road trips. Before the men went on the road for four games, they were sitting there, what, tied for second place in the league?
No, they were first.
They were first, okay.
Sole possession.
So then they go on this four-game road trip, wow. Lose them all, and they plummet from first to
tenth.
All right, in a two-week period. And see, it's my contention, if you do the 2-2-2, road, home, you don't have fans now starting to line up on the bridge again, Bob, before this time they're lining up before the river freezes over,
right?
Which could be a more painful jump.
The bridge has been closed. It's too cold.
Okay, but I mean, basketball fans, like I say, in a two-week period, because of that four-game stretch, you got people talking about a number one seed now, wondering if, you know, what's wrong with the basketball team. But right. And they went to Coastal over the weekend and lost 85-67. Now, when I mentioned some of these numbers, Talik Weeks leading the way with 22 points. Izzy Hart had a great game with 18. Benet had 16. They only turned the ball over seven times. You'd be sitting there thinking, that was probably pretty good results for Southern Miss. They probably won that game. But as is getting to be too typical with this team, they go on these streaks where they can't hit anything. Yep. At one point during the game, there was a seven-minute stretch of time where they didn't score a single point. And as other teams are tearing it up from the three-point area, Southern Miss isn't. And in the second half, and this is nothing you can do if you're Southern Miss. I mean, you're giving Coastal the three-point shot. But overall, in the second half, the Chanticleer shot 61% from the floor.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do about that.
And you talked about those spurts that they just don't score. They did that at Georgia State, you know, and I mentioned that on the show on Friday. It was almost 16 minutes of game time, from like 4 minutes to go in the first half till 12 minutes to go in the game. They had like 3 points through 16 minutes, which allowed Georgia State, because, you know, they were actually leading Georgia State. They were ahead in that game, you know, and Georgia State came back. You talked about the four-game road trip, and we documented it, that the four games that Southern Miss was winning was against the lower competition,
right,
of the Sun Belt, and we documented that. But you're right. I mean, Southern Miss hasn't been in Hattiesburg since January 10th. It's almost February, and they're sitting here within a must-win scenario, you know, to get themselves back in contention against an App State team on Thursday who, you know, isn't tremendously good, but they're, you know, up there in the Sun Belt standings. James Madison, surprisingly not great. Then they go to Marshall. So they do not have an easy rest of the schedule either for the men's, and they're going to have to find something real quick.
And if you're not going to make the three-point shot, then you have to try to score from inside. And the inside play from the big men and Benet's been scoring most of his points from the mid-range. You know, not a whole lot inside. So if you're not going to make the three-point shot, then you got to depend on Benet and Tegra Izze inside, and that hasn't been consistent enough.
And they have
enough.
Not been good from the three-point line, have they?
No. The worst in the league going into that Coastal Carolina
game. Heard at the start of the year that the coaches really thought this was a good shooting basketball team.
That's what we were told,
yeah.
And that's what you thought. But sometimes life is like a box of chocolates.
Yeah, is that what you see as the problem, Dame, of the shooting?
It's the shooting, and I really think basketball is a lot about confidence. I just think when you lose these games, you're away from home for a month, and you're just out.
The scheduling is pretty.
It's just the scheduling, and obviously you lose one of your best players. And then everything to do with the basketball team outside of what's going on the court as well. On top of that, it's just been a rough month for Southern Miss men's basketball. Let's just say that.
And again, it's not just Southern Miss that's getting these four-game road trips. Everybody in the league is getting four-game road trips. And I don't understand why that's good.
But other teams in the league are at least 1-3, 2-2 in this road trip.
And not 0-4. You just can't go 0-4.
No.
You just can't go.
Well, be thankful that you got to play Louisiana Monroe and Louisiana twice.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it could be even worse than it is.
All right. Forest Health reminds you that we're at a new point of a new year. It's time to make sure you're taking care of the most important player on your team. That is you. Be sure you get an annual physical. Exercise. Eat right. Be sure you follow the advice of your doctor and make your health as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. That's foresthealth.org. Also want to say hello this afternoon to our good friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs, all in Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership. You'll find it on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Mac Grubbs, Kevin Mullins, all those guys do so much to support Southern Miss. We hope you'll support them too. Heath Hinton joins us from Big Gold Nation Day.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. Eagle Tire West sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. They're located on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. They're family operated since 1985. They sell Goodyear tires. They do full service auto and truck service. And Matt Warren and all his staff out at Eagle Tire West are great Southern Miss supporters. Eagle Tire West, we hope that you'll do all of your car maintenance and, of course, buy all your tires from these great Southern Miss people at Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. Kelly will be headed to Mobe Beignet for the fourth time today right after the show, 2902 Hardy Street. You can check him out. Kelly knows, I guarantee you, Dima, he knows the topping of the month.
Is it Frosted Flakes?
Or? No, it is the Mardi Gras cream cheese.
There we go.
Did you try it this morning?
I try it every time I'm there.
You know they have
how many times today?
Yeah. How many times today, Kelly?
Look, we have the more important things to deal with.
Is that one of those places your steering wheel just turns to?
Yes, it's what I call the wrong turn. But don't forget February 7th now, the Kairos Mardi Gras Parade in downtown Hattiesburg. It's going to go right by Mobe Beignet Company.
That's where you'll be eating beignets and watching the parade.
And then I'll be sliding down to Southern Bancorp.
Then eat all their food.
And no, I'll be drinking their hurricanes.
I see. Yeah, I've gotten some inside information. They're looking really forward to having it.
They better load up on that hurricane mix. That's all I got to say.
All right. Heath Hinton is the proprietor, CEO, and founder and multi-million-dollar executive of Big Gold Nation. And we appreciate that your folks got you in touch with us today. And are you at the airport, Heath? I heard you were flying down where it was a little warmer later in the day.
Yeah, I'm trying to get out of this cold weather. I thought I might fly down to the Bahamas and
that'd be good.
Work a little bit from there, you know.
Well, don't go to Hawaii. Yeah. Kelly said the water out there, there's just too much water. It's terrible in Hawaii. Heath, we've been talking basketball today, and let me preface the remark. I think we have to be straightforward and honest with everybody. You know, Kelly and I in particular, we're friends with Jay Ladner. You know, he's a personal friend. as well as a guy whose program we cover. Dima knows him very, very well, too. Dima, a little different position. He is a sports journalist. Kelly and I are just old talking heads, so our opinion's really not that important. So we have our own thoughts about the status of the men's basketball program, but I'm curious to get yours, Heath, as a guy that that covers the athletic department. You know, where does Jay sit right now insofar as his future here, you think? And where does the basketball program sit, in particular the men, because Coach Leitner has been here for a number of years?
I mean, you can't deny it's struggling. There's no question about that. Where his future lies, I don't know. He's got another year left on his contract. And look, this season's still got a lot left to play, so they can pull themselves out of it. It's going to be tough, and just with everything going on, that none of that, by the way, none of the stuff outside of basketball is Jay Ladner's fault. None of it at all. I heard some people talking about that. I said, that's not Jay Ladner. You can't blame a man for what somebody does while you're in the hospital. And so you can't hold him accountable for that. It's been tough. I mean, 3 years ago they had a really good season, and next season and things happened, and last season it went downhill. This season it started off really good. These 4-game road trips are killers. I don't know why the conference thinks this is a good idea, but they do. And it's just tough right now. Where he stands, that's up Jeremy McClain, I'm not sure. But it's tough for basketball right now.
But to clarify, Coach Leitner has another year on his contract after this year.
I'm pretty sure he's got another year after this one.
You know, Heath, we talk a lot about, you know, when it's time to move on, I guess, as you say, when not necessarily about whether or not Leitner deserves to be fired. I don't really know if that's the question here. Whether or not the administration will say it's time to move on now versus later, I think, is more the debate here. But my always pushback on it, though, is, you know, who else are you going to find? And I just don't know if you're going to find another coach who's this bought into Southern Miss basketball as Jay Ladner is, because he loves Southern Miss basketball. No one wants them to win more than him.
Amen.
He's kind of just been the beneficiary, not beneficiary, but just kind of been put in all these terrible situations. Not to mention what happened last season or the year before. Like, you know, it's just crazy to me to think that everything that he's been through, you know, like the
it's
one
not
good
only
season.
That.
Yeah, the injuries. And
It's not only that, Demas, that you're a basketball coach trying to recruit to a school that's not known for basketball with facilities that are about as good as some high schools. Let's be honest. I mean, you don't have the best facilities to recruit to. You don't have the gymnasium's not, you know, something that everybody wants to play in. No offense, I love the yurt. I love Reed Green Coliseum. It needs to be redone, but they've been saying that for 3 or 4 years, and it hasn't been done yet. So you're trying to recruit to that. You only have so much for player compensation, and it's just tough, man. I don't know anybody else that can do any better in the situation. That's the problem. Who are you going to find to come in that's going to do a better job? I don't know you are.
Because
a lot of people won't take that job because of the situation.
But here's the conundrum that Jeremy McClain is in. If you have the situation that basketball is in right now, and I'm not saying whether Jay should – obviously, that's Jeremy McClain's call. But I'm saying one of the things that Jeremy has to worry about is that if this continues – and you don't make a change, there would be some that would say, well, Southern Miss is just telling us that mediocrity is acceptable, that we don't really care to try to get better. Nobody else in the league is really tearing it up other than Arkansas State, maybe, at this point. But they got beat by Georgia State, you know, over the weekend. There's nobody in the league that's tearing it up. But if you don't make a move, then people are going to say, yeah, mediocrity is acceptable at Southern Miss. And I don't think as an AD you ever want to be put in that situation where your fan base doesn't think you are at least trying to get better.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation for Jeremy to be in. Because if you make a move and you bring somebody else in, it doesn't get any better. You're not changing anything. You're creating excitement for a year and then it goes back down. So I just don't know. I don't think you can really judge
I mean, yeah, it's been some lean years, but I don't know if you can judge based off of what Jay has to work with. Let's be honest. It's not. When you bring a recruit in, they're not eye-popping facilities. They're not, you know, things aren't there that they go to another school, get about as much money, go to a school in a lesser conference, and facilities are better. So it's so difficult to recruit and bring in players in that situation. And now with money being a key factor in it, you got to have those funds. I don't know if I'm Jeremy, I'm looking at the situation going, until we get something done with Regreen Coliseum and that thing gets fixed and we really see what can happen, you could make 10 moves and I don't think it's going to matter at this point.
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one, you look at the Coastal game Saturday and you look at that gorgeous gym they were playing in. I keep going back to McNeese State last year because I tuned in one night to watch a McNeese State midweek game. I was dumbfounded at what a beautiful basketball arena they have. Would the fair move, Heath Hinton, be to judge the current basketball coaching staff when they have facilities and when they have an equal opportunity to compete with other coaching staffs in the Sun Belt? Would it be unfair at this point to make a move at the end of the year in light of all the disadvantages they're faced with?
I think so. But then, yeah, I do think it's unfair because look at Troy's facility. Look at what South Alabama plays in. Monroe plays in, you know, they play in a dump. But look at Louisiana. Look at Arkansas State, their basketball facility. Your schools that you're recruiting against, you're trying to beat, you look at their facilities and you look at Regreen Coliseum and you go, okay, I can see why there's issues here. And also, then Jeremy's like, you're going to build something, you need some excitement. So what do you do? I just don't know. It's a tough situation for Jeremy to be in because he's got to make this decision. And I don't think there's a fair decision either way you look at it because you're right. Jay hasn't had the facilities to recruit to that others have, and it's tough. It's not fair to him, and you know Missy's going through the same thing right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, but if you're waiting for that change, though, Bob, you're going to have to wait 5 or 6 years,
I don't think that's the way to go. But you know, I wonder, Heath, if this is a situation where Jay himself, you know, says, listen, you know, with my health, you know, with everything going on, I want to step back and be a grandfather. I want to, you know, enjoy these last, you know, several years that he has. Not saying he's old by any means, but I'm just saying if he just steps back and says, I want to retire, you know, I want to go spend time with grandchildren, I want to, you know, induct this new young guy to come in and bring a new energy. I think that would be the best of both worlds for Jeremy and basketball.
I agree with you. And also, you know, Jay can stay around, and he's so well-liked and had his
life. Right, exactly.
He's well-liked. People like him and raise money and do things like that. I do think that, you know, if he wanted to make that, would probably be a really solid move to make. But, you know, Jay wants to coach. He's earned that right, too.
All right.
It's his alma mater. Nobody hates this worse than he does. He loves his place.
All right. Still lots of basketball to play. We can all agree with that. They can still turn things around.
Yeah.
You know, Kelly said that about retiring to spend time with his grandchildren, and every grandchild wrote him a letter and told him to keep working. Thanks, Heath. We'll be right back. Heath Hinton, Big Gold Nation, everybody. Eagle Hour continues.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, home repair, home remodeling, home construction. MCS Home Center in Bellevue has everything you need for your next project. Local folks, they're eager to serve you. They're at 7329 Highway 98 West. They're Hattiesburg's new improvement home center, and we thank MCS Home Center for all they do. Also, remind you about DBAT there on Hardy Street. Today would be a good day since there's no school to go to DBAT and let the kids work off some energy. They got batting cages and all sorts of cool stuff down there. And they've got a training program for athletes of every age, sex, and size. And it's all at DBAT on Hardy Street.
And it's a good because it's cold outside, Bob. You know, when they're using those aluminum bats, if they don't hit it just right, their hands will sting. Mm-hmm. You know, so be inside today when it's warm at DBAT.
Well, certainly the kids aren't outside because it was too cold to be inside and go to school. How could you possibly go outside and play?
And they need to do temperature training, too, with these kids, too.
I think so. Hey, before we move on, I wanted to talk a little bit about the playoff games yesterday. One more thing I do want to say about basketball and get your opinions on it. I just believe that it's hard to overemphasize what a disadvantage Jay Ladner and his staff are when it comes to recruiting kids to facilities. And everything we hear from coaches of every sport is that kids make decisions on facilities, on the type clothes they're going to wear. All these material things are really important to young athletes today. And how do you compete with a Coastal Carolina? And so I'm recruiting Dema Mixon, and I take him into this beautiful facility that I saw in, you know, East Carolina or Coastal, and then I bring him into Reed Green, which, it, you know, I mean, it's historic, but it looks exactly like it did when I was here in college.
And to be fair, Jeremy McClain in his last
he's
appearance,
working on it. I get it.
He said that facilities are where Southern Miss has really lagged. And when Arkansas State just opened its indoor football training facility, Georgia Southern just spent $110 million upgrading their facilities. Now, the only thing I would say in defense of the facility argument now, Bob, is that with basketball, pretty much players are going to be here. They're one and done, pretty much. So when they're coming now, they're just coming for a paycheck, right? I don't think they really care about the facilities as much because they're here to get the check, and then they're going to move.
Basketball,
then they're going to move on to the next place.
Maybe at the higher end of college basketball, yes, but I don't think that's the case at Southern Miss basketball.
So you think that Southern Miss can recruit and maintain 4-year players?
I didn't say that.
I know that's what I'm asking you to clarify.
I think you should be able to get somebody here and keep them for 2 years. You know, if because Southern Miss is going to get JUCO players from now on. We're seeing that with football. I mean, you're going to want the sophomore JUCO player to come here and have their junior and senior season at Southern Miss.
But very rarely
you're going to get a freshman in nowadays.
But if it came down between – now, here's where you're going to show your age, and I mean that with all due respect. But if it came down to – if you're a player being recruited and it comes down to an NIL check or facilities, which is going to be more important to you?
It really does depend, believe it or not. I think at the level of college basketball that we're talking about, though.
Young Jedi.
It does. You'll hear it a lot about players who say they connect with the coaches, they feel at home here, and it wasn't about the money. And then you'll hear players that go all for the money. I think it just depends the situation.
I don't think there's a basketball player here making a fortune.
Exactly.
No,
that's what I'm trying to make the argument.
But if they have a chance to make any money, that connection with the coach and so on goes out the window. I just think the connection
but
they
Southern
have.
But Southern Miss basketball isn't like last in the Sun Belt in NIL. But I think they are last in the facilities, maybe outside of ULM. You know, so that's, I think, at a huge disadvantage. But I don't think that necessarily is a reason to, like, keep the current situation going, if that makes sense. Like, yes, that might be, like, an outside issue that they have to fix, because I think it's the truth for football, personally. I think it's true for baseball. You know, so, not baseball, probably not baseball, but football and basketball for sure. But you have to get past that and still recruit your players. You still have to be able to recruit and have good teams, regardless of your facilities, in my opinion.
Well, we've still got basketball left to play.
Yes.
And hopefully they'll get this thing turned around and we won't be having this discussion. You know, that we'll be talking about the great second half of the season.
Yeah.
But you pointed out, Dema, that the conference has done them no favors. They're going to just spend, both teams, men and women, going to spend the rest of the year practically on the road.
Yeah, especially the women.
And when you look at the men's too, we're talking all doom and gloom here. They're 11-11,
they are,
and 5-5. It's not like they're, you know, dead last in the league.
Right.
So now they do have the schedule against them the rest of the way, but
they were 11-7 and 4 games ago, and I guess that's what spurred this conference.
But we have had a lot worse teams record wise over the past 4 or 5 years. So.
All right, I want to switch gears. About 4 minutes left in this segment. I want to get your evals on this. I think I think I just witnessed the most exciting postseason of NFL football play I have seen in quite a number of years. Your thoughts about that, Damon? It's really been electric.
It really has. And we said it when that playoff bracket came out. You know, I remember us saying, like, well, we think this team could win them. We think this team could win. We think this team could win. And I was like, you know, I think we just named every team in the playoffs that could potentially win it. Yeah. And lo and behold, it's Seattle and New England in the Super Bowl, which is a rematch of that awesome Super Bowl 10 years ago or whatever, with Tom Brady and Russell Wilson. And now it's these two, you know, Drake May and Sam Darnold. I mean, it's just like
Sam Darnold.
Just crazy.
Who would have thought that?
Sam what I did Darnold. Think was funny was the NFL tweeted out back in September, like a collage of all the quarterbacks and then, you know, the stadium of the Super Bowl and the trophy. You know, there's a lot of talk and rumor about the NFL being rigged and stuff.
No.
No, you'll never believe who the two quarterbacks the closest to the trophy in the stadium. Drake May and Sam Darnold were the closest.
Up, aren't they?
They were. They were. I'm not even kidding. They literally were. And I just was like, How could that be a coincidence?
Kelly, what'd you think? I thought the play was just really exciting.
I think these guys are amazing athletes.
Yeah, they really are.
Smith Njigba, is that how you pronounce his last
Jackson,
name?
Jackson Smith Njigba.
Njigba, an Ohio State guy.
Yes,
I thought he was just terrific, and I loved – I don't know if you guys got to see his post-game interview, but for about a minute and a half, he thanked God.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, and they didn't edit it out, you know, none of those things. I love to see that. You could see that he was genuinely in the moment. And look, I will be the last person to ever sing the praises of the New England Patriots. But as a person who I consider myself right down the middle as far as views go on things, you got to give those son of a guns credit. I mean, they were on top for all those years, and then they kind of fell off the table for two or three years, and everybody thought, good, we'll never have to hear from New England again. And now they're right back on top. And that is because the way that team is managed. They have an excellent management staff that knows what they're doing. They know how to run a professional franchise. And you can't even say the same of the San Francisco 49ers, because for all those years that Montana and them were racking up all those Super Bowl wins, and then Steve Young after him, then the 49ers fell off the table. And they've gotten better, but they still have not been back to the promised land, so to speak. And New England has in a short period of time. I hate New England. I can't stand New England. Not a big fan of Seattle either. I'll be cheering for the Seahawks, I guess, lesser of two evils. But you got to give credit to the Patriots, man. They just know how to do it.
And Mike Vrabel, also an Ohio State guy.
Should be the coach of the year.
Yes, I was about to say that. And, he's just done a phenomenal job. And I think it should be a really good game as far as the Super Bowl is concerned. I mean, I would think the Seahawks would be favored just because of their offense versus the Patriots offense. But, I mean, I think the Patriots defense will be able to have a say in it. I mean, they have a really good defense. It was funny that Patriots-Broncos game, I mean, it was like outside, and then in 10 minutes, the field was covered in a foot of snow. You know?
You can see why they didn't have school there.
Well, they probably still had school there.
The thing that's
they skied to school.
The thing that's amazing about New England, too, is it seems like every year that they make the playoffs, they never lose.
No,
they go all the way.
They're the first team in NFL history that went 9-0 on the road this year. 9-0 on the road.
And they just, when they get in the playoffs, they don't lose in the first. I mean, they seemingly always go to the Super Bowl. Don't always win it. Most of the times they do.
I think they may win it this year.
They might. But, I mean, that is the way to run a pro sports franchise, the way they do it up there. But I'm just glad it's not L.A. because a Boston versus L.A. City Super Bowl, ick. I just can't imagine anything worse.
I'm so excited for the halftime show. I just can't wait.
Yeah, me too. I was going to comment on that real quick. Like, kudos to the NFL. Both pregame shows for the championship games were very patriotic, very well done, and enormously received by the crowds, who I would point out were in blue areas of America but still love the patriotism. And now Dima sends me – I'm feeling really good about that. And then Dima sends me this that – Bad Bunny's going to perform in a dress, for God's sakes. Say it ain't true, Kelly. I know you're a big fan. Say it ain't true.
Well, maybe they should move the game to one of these outdoor stadiums. Maybe play it in Denver.
It is an outdoor stadium.
To where it would be too cold for him to be in a dress. I don't know. It's almost like the NFL tries to push buttons.
100%.
To see what they can get away with. You know, you talk about us pushing the envelope on this show. The NFL seems to push the envelope with its fan base, but nothing they do turns out bad.
No.
Well, and Kelly, it does not mean you need to wear your dress here tomorrow.
No, please don't. I've seen him in one. It's an ugly sight.
Yeah, well, like I said, back in the day, when I was doing drag, you know, I'd come out to Led Zeppelin's Whole Lot of Love.
That's enough. Let's go to the break. Right.
That was my drag name, was Whole Lot of Love.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, 4th Street Bar Grill sponsors this segment of the program. Great place to catch some lunch 5 days a week. Good dinner every night. Always got the big ball games on the air. Although ball's football over now, short of one game. Always anticlimactic, I think, when you get to the Super Bowl. Interesting, guys. I heard a former player talking yesterday. And he said that he played in the Super Bowl. He said the Super Bowl, from a player standpoint, he found was very corporate-driven. There really was no enthusiasm one way or another in the stands. It was just right. All big wigs.
Right.
And that to him, the greatest game he ever played in was his conference championship game, because that was the epitome of NFL football.
Yeah, I mean, when ticket prices are $25,000 a seat, you know. Yeah,
I think if you saw the Seattle game yesterday, you saw how genuinely enthusiastic those fans were and excited they were
about. And not 1% of those fans will get to watch them in the Super Bowl.
Although the best seat will probably be at home anyway.
Personally, yeah.
You're right, but it's getting to be that way with sports in general, Bob. I know you guys are not hockey fans, but my favorite hockey team, the Toronto Maple Leafs, of course, Toronto hockey is just a whole different deal. But it's very difficult for your average guy just to get a ticket to a home regular season game. Mm-hmm. That's all the corporate companies, they buy all the, you know, the executive lounge seats and give them to their clients and so on. And so it's getting more and more difficult.
I think the tickets were pretty outrageous for the college championship game.
They really were. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was crazy. $4,000 to get in. Nobody has that. I mean, no. You know, everyday fan does not have that type of money to be able to spend when you count flights and hotels and food.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting to hear that player say that, though. And then if you watch those two games yesterday, you at times couldn't hear the announcers for the home crowd.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, so the enthusiasm was.
Let me ask you on this, because we've talked about what a good job we think, don't necessarily like him as a person, give or take, but the good job that Tony Romo, we think, does as a color analyst. I thought Tom Brady had a terrific day yesterday.
He did pretty good yesterday.
As a broadcaster. So, and considering that Romo's ahead of him 4 or 5 years as far as TV broadcast experience goes, who do you think, Romo or Brady?
I like Romo, and the only reason I do is because it literally is, he just predicts every single play that's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. I mean, the last 6 minutes of that game, he'd be like, all right, now this guy's going to go here. He'd draw it on the screen. These guys are going to go out. And then like a millisect later, that's exactly what happens.
But
he knows it immediately.
But that's what drives a lot of fans crazy about him. It's like,
really?
Don't tell me how the movie ends. I want to see what happens.
He certainly knows
football. I think that's cool. Man. Like, I just think that's cool. I think that's what you want with a color commentator.
Now, I'm going to say this about Tom Brady.
And you know it's difficult for me to compliment
Tom
Brady.
I think he's made massive strides since he started doing this, and I now find him to be very entertaining.
Yeah.
A third one that I enjoy listening to a lot is Troy Aikman. I mean, those are my three favorite color guys. Aikman, Romo and Tom Brady.
And is it time for Terry Bradshaw to go?
Absolutely, 1,000%.
Now, Bob, you know you're talking about one of us old guys.
Well, I personally, I think one of the best crews is the prime. I like Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit for NFL.
I love Kirk.
Yeah, they're really good to me.
I like him.
Now, Chris Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit, to me, is still the best out of another
Herbstreit,
college.
Though I hate him because his life is he goes from the biggest college game of the week to an NFL game, and that's what he does for a living. Yeah. I want that job.
He gets paid millions of dollars. And then basically he gets off from about February to August.
He's excellent, though. He's excellent. So
but you think at 77 years old, Bradshaw needs to go?
Well, I'm just not a Terry Bradshaw fan. I'm probably not the right guy to ask about that.
I think there's a real problem, and Al Michaels is starting to go through this now.
Yeah,
the young guard – you know, Dima's age and maybe just a little older. I think there's, and even in Congress, you're starting to see this where old folks, we need to go when it's time.
To me, Bradshaw is not about his age. To me, Bradshaw is just about Bradshaw. I've just never really been a big fan of his. I think he's, I don't know. There's just some things about him. I think he's kind of corny.
In other news, though, 2 weeks from Friday,
baseball.
Actually, if you're hardcore baseball, tomorrow.
2 weeks from Friday.
The JUCO season starts tomorrow.
But this is a Southern Miss show, so two weeks from Friday.
Well, then what are we talking about the NFL for?
We can talk NFL with a Southern Miss lens.
Okay, well, we're talking baseball. You know, you're just not a JUCO guy, Dean.
I like the JUCOs. I cover the JUCOs.
I didn't say you didn't cover the JUCOs. I said you didn't like the JUCOs.
And speaking of JUCOs, speaking of high school baseball, Demas High School Magazine.
Yes, we just sent our magazine to press, Pine Belt News Sports Magazine. That should be available for purchase, or I don't even know if you have to buy it, but that should be available to take home
Best
next
high
week.
School team in the Pine Belt will
just
be.
Just going to ask him that.
Pedal? Yeah, I think Pedal is going to be a real tough out, but obviously you can't discount Oak Grove. They're going to have one of the better teams they've had. I think North Forest in the 2A, it's going to be really good. PCS, they're in the 3A this year. They moved over from private to public in all their sports, and baseball's kind of like the last one that they're going to be able to like be the first in. They're in 3A, and I think they could win 7A, so look for PCS to cruise.
Really quick, does Purvis drop way off? Because I know they lost studs.
Yeah, they lost the Parker brothers and their head coach, of course. But, no, I think they should have a decent team. I don't think they'll be as great.
Summerall,
of course, is going to be right back to where they need to be.
They just reload.
They reload, man. They're a great team.
All right, that wraps up Monday. We'll bring you as much entertainment and information as we possibly can over the next 4 days. We thank you very much for listening. Junior college baseball starts tomorrow. Southern Miss baseball starts 2 weeks from Friday. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.